Morning sickness continues with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show. We got Stacy on the phone. Hello, Stacy.
Hello, how are you?
What are you calling about, Stace?
I don't know. I heard some funky noise. Was that prize tool thing?
No. That was a dog barker.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, dog Stacey. Bark chainsaw. I mean.
What she was referring to was the prize tool, because I have some tool tickets to give away. Tool with Primus, Melvins, and the Crystal Method going to be at the Glen Helena Amphitheater June 24th. Plus, you're going to be in the running for a flyaway trip to the Aftershock Festival in Sacramento. It includes VIP passes, round-trip airfare, and hotel stay, all furnished by visitsacramento.com. But you haven't heard the prize tool yet. But when you do, you'd be the first through on the phone, 1-800-955-KLOS, and you're going to get that.
We've had a cacophony of noises, but none have been tools so far.
All right. Special guest coming to the studio, Daniel Cormier. He is the light heavyweight champion, and he's going to be fighting John Jones at UFC 214, which takes place at the Honda Center down in Anaheim on July 29th. For tickets, you can go to Ticketmaster.com. A highly anticipated match coming up. Oh, yeah. Let's get DC in here.
Daniel, you're by me, baby.
I'm back.
Oh, yeah.
Finally. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, man.
Good.
Look at you, newlywed.
Yes, I am.
Yay.
Wearing that ring.
Congratulations. You better wear that ring.
It's hard to pick up my left hand. It's weighing me down.
Why did you do it?
It was time, man. You know, it was time. It was time to get married. You know, I've been with Selena for a real long time, so.
Yeah.
It was time to do it.
She never pressured you?
No, it was actually me. You know, I was like, you know, last year we started discussing a date. We came up with one and we got married. It was fun.
Now, I heard when that moment at the reception where you take the garter off and you flip it over your shoulder,
that
your buddies are standing there, and I'm sure Cain Velasquez is there, Luke Rockhold's there, and it landed right in front of Luke.
Yeah, of all people. It's like the one guy you don't think is going to... Luke would... If you're Luke Rockhold, right, and you're modeling and you're dating all these women,
seriously,
you kick the garter away. You don't pick it up. It's right there, Luke. Kick it. Luke actually picked it up. May have been a little inebriated.
It's so funny the difference between the garter and the bridal bouquet, because all the girls get out there and they will, the nicest women in the world will be like...
Yeah, a UFC fight breaks out.
Get right
there. The girls are crazy.
Well, I mean, fighting.
They had a couple ladies that are ready to get married to a couple of my groomsmen, and they were like, I'm first, no matter. One of them had the sash on, bride-to-be. She's like, hey, if this is not a big enough clue for you, here, I'm wearing a bride-to-be sash.
Yeah, right. And the guys catch the guard, like, I don't...
Everybody just kind of steps back. Yeah. Like, I don't really... My son, when I got a garter about a year and a half ago, my son caught it and brought it to me.
Oh.
I don't know how that works. He's right. Hey, Dan, it's time to get the job. Do the deed.
Oh, that's so cute.
Daniel Cormier with us. You got a big fight coming up, light heavyweight championship against John Jones. John's finally, is he all dope free? Who knows, right?
We don't know, man. All we got to do is trust him for 7 weeks. 7.5 weeks, he just has to.
Yeah, July.
He just has to stay out of trouble. You know, like. You know, there are some sayings that you could say that you can't really use in regards to him because it's true. You
know,
you just got to keep your nose clean for the next 7.5 weeks. Well, you don't really use that, you know, in regards to John Jones.
But this is going to be huge in, you know, as far as people buying the fight and watching the fight, because, I mean, you guys can together. There's no love there between you two.
No. And, not at all.
And I think, you know, in this particular fight, for both of you, you both have a lot to lose if, mm-hmm. if you know, either way. I mean, John coming back, and then if he loses, I mean, and you getting the title because he was mm-hmm. suspended and gone, mm-hmm. it's like legitimizes that championship for you. Now, and if you lose, it was like, oh, the placeholder was always just a
for
placeholder.
Sure.
So both, it's intense for both of you.
There's a ton on the line for both of us. I feel that for John, he needs this, you know, because he won the belt at such a young age. It started to define who he is as a person. He was the UFC champion. That was it. Youngest champion in history.
Yeah, you know, 20, right?
23. We didn't know who he was outside of being the UFC champion. So he needs this. He needs this more than I do. I don't need this anymore. I know who I am outside of the octagon. I know who I am inside of the octagon, what I've accomplished. I don't need to validate myself to anyone anymore. And when the moment I was able to let that thought go, it made me free.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. You know, I'm upset in a way that Jon Jones is getting this second, third chance, whatever I guess it is. I'm happy because I want you to kick his ass. Yeah. Because I'm irritated that he's allowed to come back after so many screw-ups. But you gotta kick his ass, DC.
For me, it's like, for me, there's no other way.
Right.
He needs it. I had the opportunity to fight in Anaheim against someone else, against Jimmy Manoa, and I said, make it Jones. If he's eligible, it needs to be him. Because this is what I've been waiting for 2.5 years. You know, this is the fifth time that John and I have been scheduled to fight. We've only fought once. So
who knows what's going to happen?
I need to fight this guy.
That's why you're saying 7 weeks, anything could happen. I may not even fight him.
Well, five times, you know. Right, and right. I pulled out of one fight. You know, and
you got hurt? Were you hurt?
I got hurt once. John got hurt the first time, and then obviously the UFC 200 thing. So, yeah.
Daniel Cormier is with us. You mentioned Jimmy Manoa. He was quoted as saying, "You're a bully." He says, "You're like one of those fat kids in school."
Yeah.
What?
I asked him, I said, "Is it like O'Doyle? You remember O'Doyle? O'Doyle rules." I said, "Am I like O'Doyle? I mean, come on, Jimmy. What is wrong with you?"
DC's like the nicest, like boyish, like sweet-faced guy.
I think I heard about you in your early career, like being an Olympian and stuff. You weren't much of a trash talker. You just went out there and you did your job on the mat, or you did it in the octagon. Not much of a trash talker. Did Jon Jones bring that out in you? Did you, I mean...
A little bit of that, but also like just fans. You know, like people, they boo you.
Yeah.
When you're the guy that's supposed to be the good guy, they boo you. They don't like you. I just said, wow, I can actually be outrageous. I love being outrageous. So I'm just outrageous. I say whatever I want now. It's like, I honestly say more now and just do whatever I want, and I get people going, you're slowly becoming my favorite fighter. Like, why? I just disrespected you. I just called you a loser. Would you like me now? Like, what? Okay.
Is that part of the training up at AKA? Is like, if you know, obviously there's the different styles of fighting, but is it also the trash talk as well? Like, you got a guy who's a great fighter, but he can't trash talk at all. He's like, well, you have a pimple.
That's horrible.
I'm the champ at, like, driving people insane. Like, I'm the best at that. Like, I've been doing Rosendo all day. I just got video after video of him going. I was making fun of TJ Dillashaw at UFC Tonight yesterday. It's like, I'm good at that. So if I can just mess around, I love it. It's fun. But you're right. You know, as an Olympian and...
You had this, like,
you don't know, level. Like, what are you supposed to do? You know, like, can I be, like, you know, I told Joe Rogan after the fight, I go, they're booing me, but I don't care. I'm still getting this money and getting belt after belt after belt after belt, so boo me. Just care.
And money-wise, after this 214 fight with Jon Jones, when you win, that sets up the trilogy fight, which is the, I guess, the big payday, right?
Well,
the trilogy's always the huge payday?
The money's always, it's been good. But as you alluded to earlier, you know, the Olympian and the quiet guy that said and did nothing, that guy's checks weren't as big as the guy that can exude confidence.
Have you ever gotten the check for Move of the Night?
Oh, yeah. I've had Fight of the Night 3 times. In performance of the night,
nice.
Like once or twice.
Nice.
So I've had some good fights.
What's this thing you're doing, Super Dads? You and says here that David Beckham, it's through UNICEF, something Super Dads.
Well,
what's this thing?
They called about something. I don't know all the details on it just yet. It's just they called me about some stuff, but I always kind of just defer it off to my management.
Yeah.
And then when
talk to my people.
When the process is started, then I'll get involved. But I don't really know all the details quite yet.
Because Father's Day is like 10 days away.
My wife just asked me about that. She goes,
Super Dads.
What do you want on Father's Day? I'm like, I just want to play my video game and be left alone. You know, don't make me do anything. Don't make me do any chores. Don't add, you know, let me just play my video game.
On yesterday's show, in the 7 o'clock hour, I was asking people to think about their parents and try to recall the sacrifice that they recognize that their parents made for them growing up. Do you remember your parents' sacrifice they made for you growing up?
All the time.
What stands out for you?
What stands out to me most is my mom actually cleaned houses. Down in Louisiana, she would clean houses, and sometimes I would go with her, and there would be like $40 on the table, right? So she'd go there and work all day, and it'd be like $40, and she did it every day, except for Thursdays. And then my dad, he worked for the city of Lafayette, so this man would get up at 6:30 in the morning, go to the parks, like put the lime on the baseball fields, clean the bathrooms, do all that stuff. Get off at 5, from 8 to 5, come home, get a bath, eat some dinner, and then leave and go to a pizza parlor where he would wash dishes from like 6:30 to 11 and make like $50. But they were just doing it to make sure that we could actually have
how many kids
enough
in your family.
It was me, my brother, and my sister. It was three of us. But we have an older brother, but he was already like he was already married and stuff.
Yeah. What age did you get into wrestling?
I was like 10.
10 years
old.
Yeah,
I started wrestling really young.
And they had were you doing the freestyle tournaments and stuff?
I was doing all that stuff, you know, and I didn't start to travel internationally. Nationally until I was in high school. But I also had this guy named Jim Ravenak from New Orleans. He became like almost like a godfather to me, wealthy guy, and he would just pay for a lot of my stuff. And he would just send me all over. Went to, first time I wrestled in the world was I was 15 years old. I went to Budapest, Hungary.
So he has to pay, obviously, your travel, because a singlet
sometimes.
Is, what, $20? I don't know.
A singlet's $75.
What?
A singlet is $75.
Now they call those the rompins.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty much...
That romper thing, man. Hey, come on.
The singlet, we were wearing the rompins long before they became popular.
What is going on with that? I keep blocking people on Facebook every time they put a romper thing
you're
of
like,
a guy. I'm like, stop.
You have to do that at least one time when you're doing the announcing. Because you're so good, I mean, obviously, at fighting, but the announcing, you're natural at it. Mm-hmm. To wear a rompin.
I am not wearing a
broadcast one night.
No chance.
Just for
absolutely
one segment.
No chance. Just standing there with my singlet on.
And don't acknowledge it.
My wife actually goes, how do you guys wear those? Like, how uncomfortable are they? She's like, they got to be uncomfortable. I'm like, you know, they're actually pretty comfortable. I spent my whole life in a singlet. I just stopped wearing a singlet when I was 29. I spent 20 years wearing that. So it was like, became normal, you
DC,
know?
I have a question for you, because, and maybe guys don't pay attention to it, but I certainly, you know, look at it when I'm watching UFC. Are there different sized cups? Because sometimes
yes.
Guys will come out and I'll be like, oh, shut up. Like, sometimes, obviously, it looks ridiculous on somebody where you're like...
How much protection do you need,
like,
guy?
It's enormous. Like, he gets up on the cage and it's like just... It's like he's got, you know...
He's excited he won.
Oh, come on. And I'm like, you do not need a cup that big. So there are different sizes.
There are different sized cups. You got to find one that works. Once you find one that works, you stick with it. I've had the same one since my very first fight. It's never changed.
Well, yeah, so you got the luck.
I mean, you always go with the choice of the very, very tight shorts.
So like the,
I do wear the spandex because of wrestling.
Right.
Again,
yeah.
Right? I'm so used to wearing the singlet that it's the closest we can get to a singlet.
I hate the ones that are like...
The board shorts.
The board shorts that are then cut up the sides so they've got some move. Ah!
It's too big. They're too big.
Yeah.
They're too big. It's hard to move in those shorts.
Bulky.
Daniel Cormier is with us. Got a big fight coming up on July 29th, UFC 214 against John Jones. It's going to be at the Honda Center. And if you haven't attended a live UFC event, I mean, this would be the one to go to. I mean, the electricity and the tension is going to be in the air that night. It's going to be ridiculous. And it's a great card. But yeah, definitely go see this. Go to Ticketmaster.com, UFC 214. Daniel, DC, thank you so much for coming in. Always fun having you on the show. Yes, we are rooting for you. And yeah, hopefully... hopefully you kick his ass.
And it worked. It happens this time, right? Let's go. Come on, Johnny. Boy, 7 weeks. 7 weeks, boy. 7 weeks.
Just be clean for 7 weeks.
Let's
get this thing done. Didn't Gustafson just say that he thinks that maybe John was doping the whole time?
Yeah. Well, because...
They didn't test for it back
then,
did
they? It just seems
like,
no, they were using, like, yeah, individual labs, and he's had some test results come back with some tricky numbers. And also, it's hard to think that a guy that will do all this negative stuff is not willing to do something that would actually help him, right?
Right.
You got to think, a guy that's willing to do, he tested positive for cocaine a month before we fought, right? This is the biggest fight of his life. Two undefeated guys, huge fight. If you're going to do that a month before, you're telling me you will not do something to help you? And then there's stories, you know, there's stories that he once hit under the octagon at Jackson's because USADA was there to test him. You know, he said he stayed there for 8 hours.
What?
But, yeah, you know, and crazy thing is, like, his teammates are so open to actually tell his stories. It's so sad that his safe space in Albuquerque is not his safe space because the people that are around him are so willing to go, I was there when he didn't come out. You know, he hit under the ring when he found out USADA was there. So it's like he doesn't have a safe space.
Well,
it's
crazy. That's kind of sad.
It is sad.
At least if you, you know, even if you're a bad guy, it's like, but you got your circle of guys.
You should have your teammates should have your back.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah, when you're sandblasting a couple of hookers, you don't have people talking about that stuff. Yeah. I thought we were bros.
What? Yeah, we're doing that together, right? If we're going to be sandblasting together, right?
Oh, my God. Quiet.
You knew I was going to probably bring that up at some point.
Oh, it's so crazy.
The news conference you guys had where you mentioned this to him. I think I have the audio of that. You have that, Eric?
Is he really going to be in Anaheim? Is this guy really going to go to the fight? Is this guy going to mess this up again by doing steroids or snorting cocaine or sandblasting prostitutes? What's this guy gonna do to mess this up this time?
Prostitutes. He's like, what?
And then John goes, prostitutes. Prostitutes. And we're like, what?
I love that. Sandblasting prostitutes. That's
okay,
awesome.
So first off,
you're not getting booed anymore, are you, Daniel?
No, it's crazy. Again, like, so I got, I'm just ridiculous now, and people are cheering. What? So, sandblasting prostitutes. All right. I learned that, and then I said where I learned it, and it seemed as though I was throwing the bus over my man Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold says that he has never done that. It's because he watched The Wolf of Wall Street. I said it wrong. Yeah. So I was so on. I said it wrong. But that's why he goes, thank you for backing the bus up over. You get what you do, man.
And to sandblast the prostitute is to take cocaine and you blow it into the air. Well, yeah, it's like a cloud.
It's crazy. And he also said, like,
love and goodness.
There's a number of explanations. Watch The Wolf of Wall Street, I guess. I haven't seen that for a while.
He's powdering donuts.
And you're like,
he's dusting nightstands.
What's that mean? Did you see his new T-shirt? John Jones has a new T-shirt. Think Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Enjoy Coca-Cola, right? It's red and white, and it says, enjoy Johnny Bones, right?
Oh.
So... What? What?
Yeah.
That's his new shirt. Enjoy Johnny Bones, his name written in the Coca-Cola script.
He's really owning it.
Can you believe that?
You got 7 weeks. We'll find out.
Unreal, yeah, John.
Wait, I can't wait.
Come on, man. 7 weeks.
Daniel Cormier, thanks again for coming in. UFC 214 coming up on July 29th. The Honda Center. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We've been running long. Got to get some traffic from Lisa May. What's going on, Lisa?